from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, since January the 1st, when a new California law began requiring police departments to make disciplinary records public, a coalition of news organizations, including KQED, has obtained hundreds of records revealing a range of serious officer misconduct, from filing false reports to lying to investigators. At 10, we talked to two reporters about what they've uncovered. Then at 10:30, we'll talk with the playwrights of The Jungle, opening tonight at San Francisco's Curran Theater. The play is an immersive experience, placing the audience in the middle of an Afghan restaurant in a refugee camp in Calais, France. That's all next, after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Police departments across California must make public records of serious officer misconduct and use of force. That's according to a recent ruling by a state appellate court in San Francisco. The ruling affirmed that California's new police transparency law requires the release of pre-2019 records, despite more than a dozen lawsuits brought by law enforcement unions. Since the law became effective earlier this year, a coalition of news organizations, including KQED, has obtained hundreds of police department records revealing misconduct, including the filing of false reports and lying to internal affairs investigators. Two reporters now join us here in studio to talk about investigations stemming from newly released records and to talk about what this all means. Alex Emsley is with us, reporter for KQED News. Welcome, Alex.
Hi there.
Hi. Thomas Peel, also with us here in studio, investigative reporter for the Bay Area News Group. Welcome, Thomas.
Thanks, Michael. Always good to be with you.
Good to have you with us. And Alex, let's begin with you. This is a pretty serious and I think important decision, to put it mildly, that was made that goes against the Superior Court decision from Judge Charles Treat. And we're actually, to give listeners a bit of a background here, we're talking about an assembly bill that was put forward, Assembly Bill 1421, that essentially allows for these records to be open. But there's been a long fight. There have been many lawsuits. What, about 18 by count?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to keep track, I think, on the lawsuits on this. So this was Senate Bill 1421 became law first of this year, and basically says that records of, you know, what's called official dishonesty by police officers, basically a lie that can affect somebody's criminal case, sexual assault by police officers, and any kind of serious use of force, is open to the public. And, you know, it wasn't really specified as to when records should have been created in order for the public to be able to have access to them after this law took effect. So you know, we read that as records in the possession of a law enforcement agency, as any kind of documents that we would normally seek. Doesn't matter when they were created. But this litigation started actually since, before the first of this year, and has continued to stall the release of records throughout the state. This argument brought by law enforcement unions that the law shouldn't apply to older records that were created before January 1st, has gone up and down the court system, to appellate courts, to the Supreme Court three times, but the court has rejected to hear it.
But this appellate court makes really for a different, whole different set of circumstances in terms of allowing the law. This is Nancy Skinner's law, we should mention, originally, who wrote it, who authored it, because we're talking about it going through essentially a whole process that never really overturned the law. And now, like you say, the Supreme Court has said we're not going to actually look at this. So it seems like it's going to go into effect. It is in effect.
It is, and it has been in some agencies. You know, this is it's very kind of patchwork around the state. Some agencies released records to us right away, and we've requested these kinds of documents going back 5 years from 450-plus law enforcement agencies across the state. So some have provided records right away. Others have relied on this argument to kind of to either stall or to wait for direction from the courts. Now, what happened most recently is a state-level court, the first appellate district, made case law on this, published its decision that said this argument that past records shouldn't be released has no merit. And that is now the law throughout California.
Except how's the AG responded to this, Javier Becerra?
Well, you know, he has said that he needs direction from the courts before he's going to release, before the State Department of Justice would release any records created before January 1st, 2019. KQED asked Javier Becerra yesterday if this now, you know, formal published appellate decision is that direction, and here is what he had to say.
We have said we would obey any formal official order by the courts, and we've been waiting to have the official word from the courts that could bind us and give us the direction that we need so we can move forward. Because the last thing we want to do with private personal information is get it wrong the first time, because you don't get a second chance to get it right. And so we want to make sure that we get it right. And if the courts instruct us to release information, we're ready to do so.
Can you translate that for us, Alex?
Well, apparently not yet. I mean, a published decision by a state appellate court is not enough direction from the courts for the attorney general on this law.
Now he's a top cop.
Apparently, you know, and, you know, to, I guess, translate further, I mean, a final decision could still be a ways out. There are other appellate districts in California that could come up with a conflicting ruling. The thing is, it hasn't happened yet. And we have a state of the law right now that says, release these records.
Alex Hemsley with us in studio, reporter for KQED News, and Thomas Peel is also with us. He's an investigative reporter with the Bay Area News Group. And Thomas, before we examine what this may mean, and indeed it has a lot of significance, to put it mildly, talk a little bit, if you would, about the coalition of news organizations, which includes KQED. There's been a whole California reporting project behind this looking for transparency.
Yeah, it's come together rather nicely. You know, the Los Angeles Times, Public Radio in Southern California, the Bay Area News Group, other papers around the state, the Bees, the San Francisco Chronicle. And I think some of the idea here is this is a voluminous amount of records. And if we can share the burden together of acquiring those records and then share the documents within members of the coalition, we're getting stories out faster. We're getting this information to the public faster.
And what kinds of stories are we talking about?
Well, you know, we began, the first story that came out was a Burlingame cop who arrested a woman on suspicion of drunken driving and then went to her house the next day and told her if she had sex with him, he could make the case go away. A couple of cops in Watsonville having sex while they were on duty, going to rendezvous with their girlfriends. In Little Rio Vista in Solano County, a cop was fired for planting evidence on a man and using a illegal chokehold. A woman was arrested without probable cause and got into a tussle with the police and suffered a horrible dog bite. There's been cops who have lied about evidence. There's been cops who have beaten people. We know now that three Oakland police officers are facing firing in a shooting incident because records about Oakland's federal monitoring now come into play under 1421 because they involve discipline. And without the new law, we'd have no idea that those officers were being fired.
What about the records privacy, though, and third-party reports and so forth? I mean, you know, it's almost like what's gone on in the Mueller investigation. They're saying that there are certain things that have to be protected here.
Well, I don't think there's anything coming out that is of great danger to anybody. I mean, we're talking about incidents where police officers either are disciplined for wrongdoing or employ deadly force or other force that leads to great bodily injury of a person. And there's a great public policy argument that those records should be public. Police officers...
Public right to know?
Public right to know, Michael.
And what about the argument, and you hear this, that this is going to help build better relations with the police?
One has a hard time understanding why it is that in the honorable profession of policing, where we know that more than 90%, higher than that, of officers never face discipline over the course of their career, they wouldn't want the public confidence that builds with the confirmation that they take care of the problem officers.
In California, we've had a state of
Alex
the law.
Hemsley.
In California, we've had a state of the law for since the 1970s that basically is, you know, trust us because the public is not capable of analyzing or even really seeing this information. There's nothing to see here. This law has changed that landscape, and I think we're seeing convulsions through the legal system, through the law enforcement profession, frankly, through the journalism profession, as we all try to gear up to get this information to the public and analyze it.
Well, what does the public think about this? Let me put the question out and invite you, the public, to weigh in here. Not only interested in hearing your thoughts, but any questions you might have. We're talking about a newly revealed records expose about police misconduct in departments across the state and a new appellate ruling that makes that move forward. There have been a lot of fights between the ACLU and the police union, and maybe this is the end of them, maybe not. We'll have to wait and see. But we'd like to hear your thoughts and certainly your responses. You can join us now at our toll-free number. This is a half-hour segment, so if you have something you'd like to bring to the conversation, we'd like to hear from you now, and now would be the time to call 866-733-6786. That's a toll-free number, and you can join us at that number, 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, email any thoughts you might have or questions to forum@kqed.org or go right to our website at kqed.org/forum and click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, and you can also, of course, go to our Facebook page. But we do want to hear your thoughts and your responses. Alex Emsley with us, reporter for KQED News, and Thomas Peel also with us, who is investigative reporter with the Bay Area News Group. And is this, as you see it, Alex, sort of stepping on anybody's toes other than the thin blue line or the blue line that surrounds police officers? I raise that because there have been questions about, you know, informants being put in danger and that sort of thing.
I mean, I think that, you know, California, up until the passage of this law, had a distinction as one of the most, if not the most, secretive state when it comes to access to information about police discipline. This law does not make California, you know, sort of the most transparent state. There are other states around the country that we can look to where public access is near 100% open to this kind of information. What SB 1421 does is allows for a really very targeted set of circumstances that could trigger the release of an officer being found to have committed misconduct. And that's important. This isn't allegations. This is when an investigation has been conducted and investigators, and sometimes after an appellate process, an appeals process as well, all of these investigations and processes have found that an officer committed what is really serious misconduct. This is not minor stuff. This is, you know, exploitation and abuse of power, defined as sexual assault in the law, and dishonesty to the point of altering people's criminal cases. One of the most major stories we did that Thomas mentioned, you know, involved criminal charges for a woman who was falsely arrested. The internal affairs investigation found that the arrest there wasn't cause for the arrest. There wasn't cause for the charges that the woman faced. But for this information becoming public, that woman was still facing those criminal charges. And after we published on that story, those charges were dropped.
There are a lot of false reports that have been filed and lying to investigators, Thomas Peel?
You know, there have been, Michael. There's times when we have found that people lied to investigators when their own body camera footage, especially in the Rio Vista case, showed a very different story than what went on. And the body camera footage is now releasable. There's a lot of questions over cost and another Supreme Court case about that going on. But, you know, there was a BART police officer who lied to investigators about how a woman was severely injured, claimed to investigators he kind of just helped her down to the floor. Well, she had won a lawsuit settlement of more than $1 million because she was thrown to the floor and had her face smashed on it. And, you know, these kinds of things are revelatory, and they show this system. And, you know, anecdotally, people who are critical and curious about the system have always believed that the internal affairs investigation sometimes would gloss over use of force cases. And, you know, there's been accusations, for instance, in the Oakland case, those three officers are being fired, that their internal affairs led them through the questioning with leading questions, that they set out with an agenda to clear the officers,
There have been too many cases of Internal Affairs protecting their own, I'm afraid. I mean, nationally and Alex?
Well, I mean, but interestingly now we can get transcripts of those interviews. If it's if it involves these types of misconduct I'm talking about, but also any use of force resulting in great bodily injury. And I just want to expand a little bit about what Thomas was saying about that BART case. What I found fascinating about that was not only that the officer had written in his police report and described to Internal Affairs investigators that he had guided this woman to the ground, but BART itself, in its defense in that lawsuit, had adopted that language and argued that the woman was guided to the ground as opposed to thrown face first into the ground, and resulted in a $1.3 million settlement.
Guided to the ground. I like that kind of phrasing. It goes beyond euphemism. Let me get some callers on here. We begin, Sherry, with you. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. I don't believe we need more transparency. I really don't. I'm not trained as a police officer, and neither is the press. We make assumptions, and unfortunately, in journalism, we enjoy the negative, especially if it has to do with policemen. I'm sorry. I think there is some, but not a lot. But we guide it to the negative always. It's very unfair. As I said, we don't have the training. We weren't there. We're relying on, I mean, I feel like, you know, what the press did was, you know, with Larry Bear in that video was horrendous. And they certainly didn't do it with Jeff and his interesting place that he died, did they? They pick on people that is going to be more sensationalistic.
It's a fair concern, and I'd like to go to get a response from Thomas Peel on this. Is anything you've seen in the records, and this goes to either one of you, reflect a department that's practicing good discipline and good policy?
Well, I mean, yes, because what we're seeing here is we're seeing departments that are doing what the public would expect, which is disciplining officers, firing officers that commit serious misconduct. The issue here is whether or not we had trusted over the past 40 years that this was, we were told, there's nothing to see here. This is an internal matter. It shouldn't be released to the public.
But she's raising trust with the media as a side issue here, or maybe not even a side issue.
Well, I mean, what we're doing is
corollary.
We're reporting what the police did and what departments did in enforcing discipline. This is coming straight out of raw investigative files, administrative files. These are administrative investigations of misconduct. And the law allows us now to get a full misconduct case and report where the discipline, why the discipline happened and what the wrongdoing was.
You want to add anything here, Alex?
Well, these are findings about law enforcement by law enforcement. And so in some ways, I think one could see this as being, you know, of a perspective of law enforcement doesn't just include sort of rank and file officers. It also includes internal affairs investigators. It also includes police chiefs who are making these decisions and determining that, you know, that an officer was committed some kind of serious misconduct. And, you know, I mean, I respect the caller's points, but the reference between, you know, Larry Bear video and coverage of Jeff Adachi's death, it seems like that information, both of those were gleaned from reports in the press.
Let me thank Sherry for her call. We'll go right to another caller. Bridget, join us. You're on the air.
Hi. I was curious if a family is in search of this situation with the 1421 and wanting disclosure and looking into a case that happens to be with their family, how would they go about searching that out?
Good question. And Thomas, you want to help us with the process here?
Sure. Anybody can file a public records request under California law, and it carries the burden of meeting that request over to the government agency. So we know of many people who have filed requests individually because they have either lost family members to police violence or seen family members suffer serious injury at the hands of police, and they want to know what happened and want more than what comes out in a press release or a statement.
And Thomas Peel, investigative reporter of the Bay Area News Group. Excuse me. Go ahead, Bridget. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask a follow-up question. Is there a do they have a time limit that they are allowed to retrieve and give that information to the family? Are they under any stipulation of time, or is it just completely open-ended?
Well, California has a rather poor public records law. They have 10 days to get back to you and tell you what they found in response to your request. And they can approximate when they're going to give it to you, but there's no absolute drop-dead deadline of production of the records. That is one of the great frustrations of our very poor California law regarding public records.
We're also talking here, though, aren't we, Alex, about some of the controversies that swirled around this law was the fact that it wanted to be retroactive.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think the term retroactive is really a correct term to it's not really the right terminology to use here. It applies to, as numerous courts have now ruled, that term really applies to a change in a legal consequence for a past act, right? So that could be if something that wasn't a crime before and then now becomes a crime into the future, it's a very, you know, principle tenet of our legal system that past crime can't now be charged because the law changed, you know, after the fact. But that's not what this does. This applies to conduct that was already, you know, went through a legal or a quasi-legal process.
Yeah.
It's about the records and when they were and what records are in possession of any given agency.
And let's be clear, Michael, we're talking about administrative functions here, not legality. There's a relatively lower bar for misconduct. It's a preponderance of evidence. But these are, you know, administrative documents. They're not, there's nothing here that goes before, you know, a criminal court judge or a criminal charge. There have been a few times that we've seen police officers facing criminal charges out of misconduct, but we have more questions about that, frankly, than we do answers, because we found, say, a cop in San Bernardino who, for 30 years, was stealing ammunition from his employing department. They found him with tens of thousands of bullets in his house, yet he wasn't charged with theft.
I want to read a couple of tweets. It may have been prompted by that first caller. Roy tweets, if taxpayers pay your salary, you are a public servant and should be held accountable by we the people, whether in law enforcement or government. Another listener tweets, there is no officer's privacy. They are public servants. If they're operating in a way that is serious officer misconduct, you bet it should be public and warrants a public, not internal investigation. This protects all of us. So the sentiments are coming through here, and I guess those sentiments are pretty much in line with, well, the ruling that we heard from the appellate court on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, there are still some cases in Southern California that could come up through the appellate system. So I don't think that this legal issue is finally solved. But, you know, there has been clear direction from multiple levels of the courts, trial court, appellate courts now, that say that, you know, these records should be released.
Well, we'll continue, obviously, to follow this. Thank you, Alex Emsley.
And thank you.
Thank you, Thomas Beal.
Thanks, Michael.
And thank you, our listeners. Another segment of Forum is up ahead. We're going to talk to the two authors of The Jungle, which is playing at the Curran Theater. It opens tonight, and it's all about migrants, and it's an extraordinary production. It's immersive theater. Stay tuned. It's up ahead. I'm Michael Krasny.